Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. The Roundabout Theater Company's Roundabout Underground program gives productions to emerging playwrights. And last year they had a hit with Bad Jews, a play by Joshua Harmon, directed by Daniel Aukin. The show did so well in their 62-seat Black Box Theater, in fact, that they brought it back to run in the Laura Pels Theater, their bigger small space, as part of their season this year, where it continues to earn excellent reviews and enthusiastic response from audiences. In the play, a young Jewish woman, Diana, she prefers to be called by her Hebrew name, Daphna, fights with her cousin, Liam, to get a religious relic left behind by their recently deceased grandfather, who had kept it safe during his years in a concentration camp by holding it beneath his tongue. Liam's brother, Jonah, and girlfriend, Melody, observe and reluctantly weigh in as Daphna and Liam argue and insult sling as only family can. Michael Ziegen plays Liam in Bad Jews. Ziegen attended Skidmore College, and his other off-Broadway credits include Liz Merriweather's Oliver Parker and Greg Moss's Punk Play. On television, he's been featured in recurring roles on The Walking Dead, Boardwalk Empire, How to Make It in America, Rescue Me, and he'll appear in the upcoming season of the HBO hit Girls. His film credits include Adventureland, Taking Woodstock, and Francis Ha. I spoke with Michael Ziegen in New York City a few weeks ago. Michael Ziegen, welcome to The Roundtable.
Hello, happy to be here.
You went to Skidmore College, which is right in our listening area. What was your experience?
Skidmore was, it was fun. I mean, to be honest, I had applied to NYU. That was my top choice, and I had auditioned for Tisch. And unfortunately, I didn't get in. So I knew somebody who was going to Skidmore, a friend of mine from high school. And so I thought that, that was the next best option, I guess. But it turned out to be perfect. It wasn't a conservatory. It's a liberal arts school, and they have a great theater program. And they have a great comedy. they do a lot of improv and sketch comedy. And I actually started a sketch comedy group at Skidmore that's still there today. I guess they have a lot of students like, improv comedy there. And more so than any other college I think I've ever experienced. And they even have a college comedy festival every year that got written up in the New York Times last year. And the guy who started it is this guy, Dave Miner, who he produced 30 Rock and Parks and Rec. And so it just has a vibrant comedy community there, which was surprising and came out of nowhere. And so it was fun. It was a fun time.
And between graduating and your first major work in New York, how did you pound the pavement? What all went down?
Yeah, well, I graduated and I moved home for about a week and a half. I couldn't take it anymore. So I came pretty much straight to the city, straight to New York. I'm from New Jersey, so, it wasn't a big commute. But yeah, I kind of just came to New York and hit the ground running. And I knew somebody who was a talent manager for little kids who I had gone to high school with, who was older than me, but we reconnected and he started sending me out on auditions. And so I was lucky in that respect because, not a lot of people come here and have representation. And even though it was like basically it was a manager for little kids, he was still able to help me out. And I got a part on the Letterman show, the David Letterman show. I started doing a character called Dwight the Troubled Teen. Mm-hmm. And that pretty much paid for my whole, living arrangements here. It became a weekly little skit that Letterman loved for some strange reason. And it turned out it was a lot of money at the time. So I have Letterman to thank for my career, essentially, because otherwise I don't know what I would have done. I was also working at my dad's law firm, which was hell. But it was nice because he let me, my father was the boss, and he let me leave to go on auditions, and I would have to make up the time after. But he did let me leave, and that's quite a luxury. So yeah, so basically, Letterman was my start.
And while you were doing that, it was like 50 appearances or so. Yeah. How much did you interact with Dave Letterman himself?
I never had even one conversation with David Letterman.
That's kind of what I thought might happen.
He's a very private fellow. He even after the show, when the show is over, everybody's essentially like locked into these rooms while he, makes his way through the hallways. It's strange, but But, you know, he's the boss, and he could do what he wants. And so I didn't really have a problem with it. But, yeah, we never... I mean, there were a couple of times where, like, we ran into each other accidentally backstage, and he would say, "Hey, Dwight." And now it's pretty much the extent of our relationship. But I have him to thank. I mean, I'm forever grateful.
You have worked hard to and acquired a sort of seemingly clutch spot in this golden age of television we're in right now. Rescue Me is a very good show. Boardwalk Empire is a great show. And you're going to be on Girls coming up. You didn't, you know, have to try during another time when TV wasn't so good, but it must be fairly satisfying to be involved in so many excellent, critically acclaimed projects.
Yeah. Not to mention Walking Dead, which is like hugely popular.
I was bound to forget one.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and actually my first TV appearance, you know, other than Letterman, was The Sopranos, which is also another one.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's I just try harder at the auditions when it's something that I really like, or I have been very fortunate, but I'm really picky. So, you know, when something like Girls came along, I get excited. And Boardwalk Empire, you know, I wanted to be on that from the beginning, and I had had three auditions prior to, you know, I played Bugsy Siegel, and I had three other auditions for different characters, and sometimes it just takes a while. And or you know, Rescue Me was fortunate, and I was able to prolong that. I started out, it was like a little arc, and I was able to be on that for, you know, 40 episodes. It was like, yeah. So I've been very fortunate in that respect, that, you know, I kind of do get a little pumped up when it's something that I watch, or, and it's very surreal. It's like, it's incredibly surreal. You know, you watch a show and then all of a sudden you're on that show and you're acting with these characters that you've watched from week to week, and it's incredibly surreal, but it's so amazing. It's really awesome. And that's what makes my job worthwhile.
And then you're, of course, in Bad Jews, the reason we're actually speaking today, aside from all the television projects, which you did underground, and now it's at the Laura Pels, the bigger small space for Roundabout. What do you enjoy about doing this show?
I love this show. It's one of the best plays I've ever read. The writing, Josh Harmon is an incredibly talented new playwright. And the minute I read this play, I knew I wanted to be a part of it. I didn't even read the play. I read the audition scenes, and I was like, wow, you know, this, I get it. And then I read the entire play, and I was blown away. You know, anytime you get to spout these words that are just, I mean, if you see it, you'll understand. It's like, it's so brilliantly written. It's like, I don't know how these thoughts came out of somebody's mind. You know, it blows my mind just thinking about it. But it's funny. It's a funny play. It's interesting because from night to night, you don't know whether the audience is gonna laugh, because it's a dark comedy. So some nights people come in and it's strange. I don't know how it works out that like 400 people will collectively either laugh or they'll be completely silent. And it goes from night to night. You don't know. So that actually makes it very interesting and fun, because you don't know how the audience is going to respond. And despite the fact that they don't laugh, that doesn't mean that they're not into it, you know, because there have been nights where it's been a total, you know, it's total silence. And then we get a standing ovation at the end and we're like, oh, I guess they liked it. So that's it, you know, it keeps you on your toes a little bit. Just aside from that, you know, I'm also working with these fantastic actors. Tracy Chimo is just like, blows me away every night. Like, she's just incredible, and you kind of have to step up your game when you work, you know, opposite her. And Molly Ranson and Phil Ettinger. I mean, we're a team. We rely on each other, and we also like screw around with each other and make each other laugh, and we're in it to win it, you know. So it really is. It's like a sports team. It's like, this is the closest I'll ever get to being on a sports team, I think.
When the writing is as good as you have alluded to, what does the direction have to be?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because there are times when I'm on stage and I'll do something, and you know, we did this last year, and I'll think to myself, like, oh, this, what I'm doing right now, this was a direction that Daniel Auchin gave me, you know, and I don't even think about it anymore. It's like, oh yeah, that's something he told me to do. And Daniel is brilliant because he's so specific, and you know, the play itself is so specific, and yet, I mean, it's so well written, but like, he even comes like every week, you know, he'll come, or actually every 2 weeks now, but like, he'll show up and then kind of like give you these little directions that you're like, oh, come on, like, really? Like, you know, like, we've been going at this for a while now, it's getting good results, like, do I really need to like change this little thing? But then you do it and you're like, oh yeah, yeah, it's even better now. So yeah, I mean, you know, a play can be it could be Death of a Salesman and be like, you know, a perfect play, but you still need a director to mold it. So
when you did it in Underground, and it was very well received, and you obviously had a great time, a great experience, when does the news come that you're going to get to do it again, and how exciting is that?
Yeah, we knew while we were doing it, well, first of all, we knew that it was something special, and you know, it was sold out. The whole run was sold out, so it was, I mean, we couldn't even get tickets for our family anymore at some point, so they had told us that they were planning on moving it, and we were excited. We didn't know where. We didn't know if it was going to be Broadway or downtown. You know, we didn't know where. So I think it was on the last day of the show, they told us that it was definitely going to move somewhere. So, you know, clear our schedules because it's going to move somewhere. So we were satisfied with that. We didn't know where, but we were satisfied. And then a few weeks later, we heard that, you know, Roundabout was going to do it again in the Pels. And it was a great feeling because it's like, that's like home, you know, we know the area, we know the building, and we had seen the Jake Gyllenhaal play there the previous year. So, it was a good feeling. It's like, we didn't know how it was going to translate. We, you know, 'cause it was in this tiny little room, and, it's a kind of a claustrophobic kind of play. It takes place in a studio apartment, and the audience was on top of us and we're on top of them. We didn't know how it was going to translate to the big stage. And this is a big stage. It's, you know, it's 420 seats, and it's essentially a Broadway house. It, you know, the mezzanine is only, I think, three rows or something. But other than that, like the orchestra, that's a Broadway house. So we didn't know. We didn't know how it was going to work, but it works. It works even better. It's like it was a real play then, but it's a real play now. Like, it really is a real play, and we have a little distance between the audience, so that's good too, because we don't have to hear, you know, candy wrappers, and although we do hear candy wrappers,
but you always hear candy wrappers. Yeah. And someone's phone goes off.
Oh, obviously. But you know, we would do these scenes in the black box where like there's a hallway scene, and like the audience is like right there, and I would have a scene with Phil Ettinger, and there's somebody sitting down right in front of us who's, you know, going through their bag looking for gum, and we're doing this scene, and it's really distracting. And so now we have a little bit of separation between that, and we like it a lot better.
Michael, I wish you continued success. Thank you very much for speaking with me today.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
Michael Ziegen stars in the Roundabout Theater Company's production of Bad Jews at the Laura Pels Theater on West 46th Street in New York City. For more information about this or any other interview you've heard on our show, visit wamc.org/roundtable.